Now, we take you back to the night of May 18th, 1999, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right, Stuart Best, you're back on. So are you, caller?
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, where I was coming from, Art, you can define the classifications. There won't be time for that. With Michio Kaku, obviously, it's pretty straightforward, fairly simple. But what we have in between is the elements within civilization that account for people's evolutionary changes within the levels, i.e., where is the zeros, where are the ones, where are the twos? Well, as I began to look at the planet, and I have to really thank Crazy Richard, and by the way, my nickname's Crazy Paul, so I can relate. The fact that what we have to do is, and by the way, guys, I'm prophesized out. I mean, we can debate this until the next millennium, but I'll tell you what. If I'll be here, I'll be here. If I won't, I won't. It's that simple. But
we may, we probably will be debating this until the next millennium.
Thank you. So anyway, what I'd like to see is a more generalized model. And where I'm going to is, living in Phoenix now some years, I personally have noticed a sort of spiritual uplifting from me. And with that in mind, I began to look at Michio Kaku's classification and reflect upon myself. And with that process, and of course, with your coaching, Art, I found myself locking onto a type 1 more and more, i.e. planetary handling. And I had some Phoenix Mythical experience to help justify that in terms of a worldwide handle, shall we say.
Do you understand what this caller is talking about when he's talking about classifications of civilizations? Have you heard Michio Kaku?
No.
Okay.
I could define it if you want.
All right, let me hear you do it quickly.
Type zero basically means that 90% of all the civilizations that ever begin fail. But what he doesn't clearly say is that that failure can be, shall we say, parochial on a planet, i.e., perhaps 90% of the planet gets wiped out. So that accounts for somewhat of the prophecies in saying that there's certain earth changes that will only, shall we say, wipe out certain areas of the planet. So what
right.
you have is a type zero that can't get past element 92 on the periodic table, i.e., uranium. But within that uranium level, we also can have a positive attitude, perhaps a type 1 usage of uranium. So we can kind of look at that later. But what we then do is that the type 0s fail, nuclear winter, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to a type 1. As we ease into a type 1, we're going to lose the type 0s, perhaps or not. And as the planet gets more of a control of a type 1, i.e., we can now control things that the guys are throwing the missiles around. Okay, we have a nuclear winter control, fine. We can stop comets, perhaps, for hitting. Maybe we got one coming June 30th. That's fine. But where I like to make my inroads as an engineer is what's the worst-case scenario? Well, the worst-case scenario takes a little bit of spookiness because this involves somewhat of a sun vision. In other words, the type 1 has control of the planet. Okay, we are ecological, we're balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens when, shall we say, a supernova happens from our sun, whether it be the internal sun or the external sun, shall we say?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we have perhaps the need for a type 2 blessings or insight. Well, to get from a type 1 to a type 2, you're probably looking at an incredible spiritual paradigm shift coupled with the facts of the facts, i.e., what are these northern lights all about? What is the really heating of the planet? What is the center core that we say is molten? Well, there's a whole bunch of things that say it's not molten, but we won't go there too much because you can't touch it. But from where I'm coming from, I believe we have a planetary assignment here that clearly is a type 1 vision with a type 2 need for insight. And that's where we come into beyond the scriptures, beyond the rhetoric, beyond the prophecy. Because these type 2s are here. You want to call it the collective unconscious. Ed Dames calls it a great mind, etc.
All right. You're covering a lot of territory. Let's stop right there. So suffice to say that a theoretical physicist that I have on, named Michio Kaku, doctor, says there are these various levels of civilization. The caller ended up by saying the type 2s are here. Meaning that there are, and after all, it'd be fun to address this with you. I know you have fairly fundamentalist views, but when you look into the sky, there are, out here in the desert, more stars than you could even count a tiny portion of that you can even see.
Yes.
Around them are planets, many of them, no doubt, habitable, possibly harboring life, probably harboring life. And some of them, at least, have progressed past the point of Earth, far past the point of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it not reasonable to conclude that there is other life out there and that it is here visiting?
Well, I don't think you can draw from the scriptures that that's not possible. The Lord makes a comment that's very interesting. He says, I will bathe my sword in the heavens with blood and with the kings of the earth. Now, who is it in the heavens that he is angry at?
Well, then there was something about many, many houses.
Yes. And other sheep have I, which of that I must go to. It's interesting that the Hopis, for example, talk about the way is difficult and it's like a sharp knife, and that they must stay on the edge of this sharp knife and not fall off it.
Right.
Well, Jesus made the comment that straight is the gate and narrow is the way. So that leaves one to wonder, doesn't it? Exactly who are these other folds that he was talking to?
Yeah, one is always left to wonder. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Stuart Best. Hi.
It's my turn now.
Your turn now, yes. Where are you?
Okay, I'm in Murray, Kentucky.
Murray, Kentucky. Well, you're sure going to have to yell at us because you're not loud.
Okay, I just had a couple of questions to ask. You keep referring to the writings of Enoch.
Yes.
Is that a book that you can buy in any Christian bookstore?
No, they're very difficult to find, actually, and I don't have a copy of it in front of me, or I'd tell you where you could buy it. If you would write us, we can give you that address.
Okay, well, can I get it at the 800 number that you...
Yes, yeah, just call us at the 800 number and we can...
Is this the Enoch that was caught up in the whirlwind?
Yes, that's what it purports to be.
Okay.
It's very interesting book. It's extra biblical, but it's interesting that the Bible does quote from it.
Huh. Okay.
Which gives it a little more veracity, I think.
You also said earlier that in the Bible that it specifically targeted the United States for being destroyed.
Yes.
Can you tell me where you got that?
Well, you'll find that in Isaiah chapter 47, Jeremiah chapter 50, 51. Revelation chapter 17 and Revelation 18. The code word is Babylon.
Is that clear enough, caller?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then, happy perusing. Listen, you know, I just put something up on my website that I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
It's not the first one, but this involves a fireman fighting a fire, and the image of a ghost. Now, that's something I've dealt with on my program a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot, as a matter of fact, Stuart. And I guess I would ask you, with your perspective, what you think a ghost is. What is a ghost?
I'm not sure what a ghost is, but I do know that the Lord did say that ghosts exist, because he asked Doubting Thomas to feel his wounds and everything and said, "See, I'm not a ghost." Which is indicative or implying that ghosts
implication
exist.
Okay. Interesting answer. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Stuart Best. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is John, Bozeman, Montana.
Hello, John.
They're shifting crust. Hapgood talked about that in the mid-50s, and Einstein said pretty good theory.
Yes.
Basically, what happens is the Earth is balanced and spinning, but the snow builds up in higher elevations at the poles and on the mountaintops, and it starts putting a torque on the surface of the Earth. And the Earth has got, what, a skin like a mile deep of hard stuff, and then it's on a molten center of some kind. So as this surface starts to shift to balance itself, at some point it starts heating up that molten lava, which then makes it slipperier, which then lets it slide faster, which makes it hotter and all that. Hapgood says that basically we in North America would go south about 4,000 miles in a period of about 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is actually the shifting of the poles that's talking about, or the shifting of the Earth's crust, and explains why the woolly mammoths moved up at some point into that frozen area in a very short period of time like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. There are several theories, and of course you've got this Tesla scalar wave operations going on that are being thought of as possibly melting the poles and shifting the weights. But scripture indicates that it is the nuclear